Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This program, of course, is dedicated to emphasis upon the Bible, emphasis upon Christ, Christianity, the things that God has revealed to us in His Word. And as we read the Bible, we're impressed that some passages of the Bible stand out more than others. Now, that's not because some passages are more inspired than others. All of the Scripture is inspired of God, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. And it's not really because those passages are more important than other passages. Each passage is important in its proper context. But it is because in them are found certain key thoughts in some passages that just hold them up for emphasis. They're all-inclusive. They're very comprehensive in their concepts. John 3:16, for instance, is such a passage. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The same thing might be said about a portion of Revelation 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. There's a passage there in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament prophet of Micah. Micah chapter 2 or 6 and verse 8. It says, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Of course, everyone is familiar with the 23rd Psalm. It's quoted often. People find great comfort in that passage. It just stands out for them because of the things that he has to say. Well, I want to read to you a passage that I consider to be a very important passage, of course, that helps us to understand the mind of God. And that's when Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want us to think about the power of God as is expressed here in Romans chapter 1. As we consider this passage, we're going to see that this is a message that deserves man's complete attention. Because in the book of Romans, we have as complete and full picture of the system of salvation as is to be found in any one New Testament book. It is reveals to us God's way of saving man. And Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 is somewhat of a key to the understanding of the entirety of that book. It talks about the gospel of Christ. Well, just what is the gospel of Christ? Of course, we know that the word gospel, it means good news. There's something about the gospel that is good news. And that good news has come from Christ. It's His gospel. It's about Him. It belongs to Christ. And it tells what Christ has done for the benefit of mankind, the salvation of man from his sins. You see, dear friend, as the Bible emphasizes in the book of Isaiah, it's our sins that separates us from God. And so long as we're separated from God, we are spiritually lost. And if we live our lives through and meet death in that condition, we'll be eternally abandoned from the presence and from the glory of Almighty God, our Creator. But that doesn't have to be the situation with us. There's a heaven that we can have, and there's a hell that we want to shun. And the good news of the gospel of Christ is that we can have that heaven, and we can shun that hell. Deity has devised and delivered a system whereby man can be saved. The good news is, man, though lost in his transgressions and sins, he can be saved. Because the good news of the gospel is there's redemption for the soul of man. We sell ourselves to Satan by sinning, but Christ has bought us back. Now, when we pick up the New Testament and begin to read, we note that it is a record of many historical events. It's a record of the doctrine and the teaching of Christ. It is an account, however, of something more than that. It's something that happened in the world that God designed for the benefit of such people as me and you. It's a revelation from God. It's a revelation of God. It's God's revelation to man. It's for man. And in that gospel, there's the philosophy of life that has been revealed by the Creator of life, who knows what life was supposed to be. Therein is the religion that has come from the mind of God. Here are the moral and spiritual principles and teachings that God wants man to know, to believe, and to obey. Verse 17 of Romans 1 says, "Therein is revealed the righteousness of God." You see, friend, the founder and the author of the New Testament faith is the only begotten Son of the true and living God. And God has revealed that faith to us. And Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel. Now, that wasn't the case with Paul always. And that wasn't the situation with a lot of people in Paul's day. And that's not the case with a lot of people even today. But it's accurate to say that Paul was not only not ashamed of the gospel, he was proud of the gospel. Now, not in an arrogant, self-righteous sort of sinful pride, but he was proud to have the privilege to preach the good news of Christ. He was thankful for what the gospel did and for which it came. He was grateful for the dignity and the benefit and the blessing of the gospel. And he proclaimed it everywhere he went. He proclaimed it with boldness and with clarity. When Paul preached, you understood what he meant. It was without hesitation or fear or favor, and to the fullest extent. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, he said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." That's because he was proud of the gospel. It might be added here that since Paul preached all the counsel of God, all the so-called latter-day revelation and new doctrines that have come since the time of Paul are false. They're not of God, because Paul preached the whole counsel of God. But whether Paul was both friends or in the presence of foes, he demonstrated that he was never ashamed of the gospel. He wasn't ashamed of it. He went into the city of Athens, a city of culture and education and sophistication, with all the various philosophies that men have concocted. But he wasn't ashamed to preach the gospel there on Mars Hill. And he was not ashamed of the gospel when he went into the city of Corinth. And Corinth was the very focal point of immorality and lasciviousness and all manner of moral degeneracy. In fact, in the first century, if you wanted to characterize a person as being a moral derelict, you would say he had been Corinthianized. But Paul wasn't ashamed to preach the moral teaching of Jesus Christ in that city. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel when he went to Ephesus. and Ephesus was a city of idolatry. That's where was this great idol to Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. But he preached Christ to those people. And he wasn't ashamed to proclaim the gospel in Jerusalem either. And that was the city of the Jews, a city that was steeped in traditionalism and ritualism, religious and racial prejudice. But he preached the pure gospel of Christ in that city where he had formerly persecuted the gospel. Before kings, before peasants alike, whether he was in freedom or whether he was in bondage, he might have been in jail. Whether to males or to females, Paul was proud to preach the gospel of Christ because he was proud of the gospel. Friend, we should be proud of it also. We ought never to be ashamed, whether at the shop or in school, in the office, whether in play and recreation, at work, at home, in the assembly. Never, ever, any time dare we reflect against the gospel of Christ by being ashamed of it. And in Romans 1 and verse 15, Paul said, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you also who are at Rome." Now, Rome was the capital of one of the most ruthless, bloody, merciless governments that ever existed. And yet Paul looked forward to preaching the gospel of peace, how that men could have peace with God. And of course, if men have peace with God, they could have peace with one another. Paul preached for a peaceful environment. And when he was taken there as a prisoner, what did he do? Why, he spent his time, as he was allowed, in preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ. Now, Paul tells us in the book of Romans why he was so proud of the gospel. And first of all, I want to take note. He said it's because the gospel is power. People respect power. Now, there are many different kinds of power. There's economic power, military power, physical, muscular power, mental power. And, of course, there's great power in the natural world. But the gospel is a spiritual power, a power that influences the heart and the conscience of the human being. It is in this way that God governs and that God guides. Here's how the Holy Spirit controls a person's life, his deeds and his thoughts. It's through the teaching of the gospel. You see, the gospel is designed to purify the heart and to convert the heart of man and thereby lead him to live a life that's good. We sing the song sometimes that asks the question, "Is thy heart right with God? Purer in heart, O God." The heart can be pure. The heart can be right with God. And that's accomplished by and through the gospel. Well, we're going to speak some more about the gospel and the reasons Paul was proud of it in our next lesson. Remember to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.